Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Welcome to the 2018 Candidacy Preparation Training. I am your consecrating coordinator, Overseer Paulette. We are glad that you have joined us. We pray that you have your pencils, pens, you have your notebooks ready, your homework ready. We are preparing our minds to receive the information that the Lord is downloading into us. We appreciate your diligence to your process prayerfully by checking your emails, reading them thoroughly. A lot of information was sent out to you this week via email by our own elder, Sharita, and it is involving most of the things we talked about last week, summarizing them, putting them in a form that's usable for you for your invitation, verbiage, and information for planning your weekend at the conference. We will have prayer, opening prayer this evening by one of the male on the line to lead us in prayer. Man is the head, and in this ministry, we like to acknowledge God's order and start with the leadership of men in prayer. So, do we have a male on the line to bring us prayer this evening? Remember, your participation is a part of your assessment, and as leaders, you lead in your life, taking the lead in your ministry, associations, and experiences. So you're on the air, you're live, and if you click your phones on off mute, you can speak. So do we have one?
Yes, we do, Evangelist Parker.
Praise the Lord. All right, Evangelist.
Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening in thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given us. We pray right now as we gather together this evening, Lord, that your will may be done. God, the desire that you have given us, O Father, we pray and ask that it may continually, that our passion may always continuously lead us to our purpose. We thank you, God, for that which you're doing. We thank you for enlarging us in so many different ways in our spiritual mind as well as in our earthly mind. God, we ask that you have your way this evening. Bless each and every one that participate, O Lord, and those that don't, we pray that they may get enlightenment from those that do. We pray this in your Son's name we pray. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen. Thank you so much. We praise God for male leadership. And we ask that you be prepared for your presentation. We will go right into our presentations for this evening. So we look forward to...
Good evening, and I am Elder Dr. Arlette Parker, and my ordinee, my accountability partner, is Minister C.C. Miles, and we are coming from the concept of wrestling, and I want to thank God, and I honor God first, and I honor the household of faith that is represented on the line, and I thank my apostle. for the foundation that she stood on as she continued to walk. And I say that because this preparation for this has been a blessing for me, partly because I was in error, which was a great error on my part because I was thinking that we had to do all three in terms of our walk. And Sister Cece will take us, Minister Cece will take us further. But I just want to explain that, first of all, that we are looking at wrestling. And wrestling, first of all, is a verb. And it is one of the oldest forms of combat. And I thought that was just absolutely awesome, personally. First of all, when you think of the concept that it is referred to as combat. And the goal of wrestling is to gain or maintain a superior position. And I don't know about anybody else, but my son is much grown now, but he participated in probably every sport out there, and one of them was wrestling. And when we're talking about wrestling, first of all, there is a responsibility or a requirement for proximity. And when I say proximity, I mean there is required a willingness and the ability to go in. And as the intercessor and as a pastor, in which is the walk of Minister Cece, we look at this concept of wrestling. And one of the things we look at is, first of all, is the stand. Another one of the positions of wrestling is the ability to penetrate and shoot. And personally, as an intercessor, I know what it means to be able to shoot. And when we're talking about warring and intercession, we're not necessarily looking at shooting a gun, but we're definitely looking at being able to aim at a target. And it just becomes the requirement of the inner to know what we're shooting at. And then we're looking at the ability to lift your opponent. And then we're looking at knowing how to pin something down, knowing how to get it in a position where it can't move. And then we're learning how to escape. And one of the scriptures that was linked to the Genesis passage that I'm sure everybody has read because it was our required reading, which was Genesis 32 and 22. And one of the versions, this is the NIV, it says, "And that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford," which is a narrow, "of the Jabbok. And after he had sent across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him." I don't want to go too far into that because that is Minister Cece's responsibility. But one of the things I do want us to recognize is when we're talking about wrestling, there is a requirement for proximity. When we're talking about intercession, when we're talking about pastoring, when we're talking about abiding in relationship with Christ, period. I don't care what your anointing, calling, or office is. It requires you to be willing to and have the ability to get in. So you got to be willing to go in and abide in. and that word proximity. I don't know if you've ever seen a wrestling match. We're talking about for our tied together, and that's what we're talking about when we're talking about wrestling, and when we're talking about this physical contact that is required when we're talking about wrestling, and that's what Minister Cece is going to go. But one of the things that I do want to just beg you to think about the concept is that when we talk about wrestling, first of all, it's one of the oldest concepts of combat. This is a means of war. We're talking about combat. We're talking about war. We're talking about engaging the enemy. And when we're talking about combat and we're talking about engaging the enemy, that requires one of those things, and that was the first thing that I mentioned, which is our stand. We have to go in with our mindset and that's our mind, that's our mental. Then we have to have our spiritual, and that's our willingness to submit. And that's a whole other thing in terms of wrestling and being in the midst of standing. And then get in to position so that we can maintain a superior position over the enemy. Minister Cece, I yield the floor unto you.
Hi, I'm Minister Cece Miles. Thank you so much, Elder Parker. Giving honor to God and to my pastors, as well as to the network and all leaders. You know, when I thought about the wrestling and the detail, Noah Webster defines wrestle as to strive with arms extended as two men who seize each other by the collar and arms, each endeavoring to throw the other by tripping up his heels and switching him off his center. And then it says it's to struggle, to strive, and to contend. And so when we think about the wrestling, we know that it's us against something else. And as a pastor, you know, we can get so caught up in the external things that we don't recognize that this is a spiritual stance. Though we're dealing with sheep and tending to the needs of other people, what's happening on the inside of us matters as well. And so looking at Genesis 32 and 22, when it says, but he got up that same night and took his two wives, two female servants, his 11 children, and waded over the ford of the Jabbok, it represents the fact that everybody was carried on the back of Jacob. And so as pastors, we are carrying others to the place where they need to go, whether they are mature in the Lord or immature. There's a responsibility that we bear. And so when we contend with the enemy, it's not just for ourselves, but it's also for the people that we lead. Looking at 2 Chronicles 17, Jehoshaphat represents the work of the past in their own personal wrestle. One of the things that I've noted through my time being saved is that if we get too caught up in the work, we forget ourselves and the work that we must do to also be saved. It can't just be about the task. It also has to be about our living. In 2 Chronicles 17, 1 and 7, it says, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. And that just represents that he has set his heart to be about living honorably before the Lord. So he had taken the wrestle to a personal place that he chose to overtake the enemy in his personal area, which began to bring about evidence and fruit in the lives of the Israelites. It compelled him to make decisions in alignment with his worship, that God created a war defense that kept his reign uncontested. And this war defense keeps the enemy subject to the king and provided peace within his walls. Because verse 10 says that, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. And verse 12 says, and Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and cities of store. So here we see that Jehoshaphat is carrying over the people from where they were in their idolatry and being in the ways of false gods. His choice changed the atmosphere of Israel, just as Jacob's choice to take his family over to the other side of Jabbok to deal with the things that to be set in a place where they were safe while he did what he needed to do. It's the call of the pastoring is personal as well as public. And so Jehoshaphat and his wisdom aligned with God's defense, and he did everything that he was led to do. So in this wrestle that we have, we must recognize that our decisions and the opportunities that we have been arranged for us that we may have victory in the work that we have been given to do. Our choices can keep us fighting some wars, but our worship can cause us to embrace possibilities otherwise unknown. We have to be driven by the depth of our character and choosing to allow God to get to us in the way that we need. When Jacob wrestled, he wrestled so long, he just would not let go because he knew that he had an opportunity. As leaders, as pastors, that's a weight that we must always be cognizant of, that we have to keep our eyes open to see what are the opportunities in front of us and how will they affect the people that we lead. And so in this wrestle, the detail of attention, the detail of worship, the detail of living holy before the Lord is essential to being able to allow God to let his glory be evident in the work that we do and in the service that we give to the kingdom, because it can truly translate into the people of God being blessed and being able to experience more of God in ways that maybe they never would have if we weren't in a position to stand on the wall, do the work, as well as be servants to the people of God. And that
amen,
is all that
amen,
I have.
Amen, amen. Amen,
amen. Amen. And they take an offering. Praise the Lord. Wonderful presentation.
Yes.
First
Amen.
Meeting team. We appreciate it. They've set the bar. They set the example. We encourage our next group of presenters who will be, I believe, thinking, you know, who will be, Okay. And Apostle Pierce doing worthy.
That's next week.
Next week. Ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Next week
All
doing
right.
worthy. Okay. So we do encourage you as the accountability partners, introduce your candidate to us. This is also an opportunity for us to get to know one another as well. So as you come to know your accountability partner, introduce them to your Blog Talk family and the rest of the candidates so that we too may get to know one another. All right. So as we will progress to our accountability summary. Is Elder Decker on the line? Well, while we wait for Elder Deborah, we will ask Minister LaTanya to share with you those that have not registered. You need to register. And in the absence of our own Elder Sharita, then Minister LaTanya Sanders will share with you on your registration for this 2018 conference. Minister LaTanya?
Yes.
I'm here. Good evening. The AAN conference is the 2018 AAN conference. It's mandatory for all candidates. LFC, Apostolic Economical Network Host 2018-5778 Apostolic Economical Alignment Assemblage. The theme is To Know Him, Manifestation, Maturation, and Momentum, Philippians 3 and 10. It's going to be on Thursday, August 16, 2018, through Sunday, August 19, 2018, at Hyatt Regency Schaumburg, 1800 East Gulf Road, Schaumburg, Illinois, 60173. The conference cost is $70 per person, includes one complimentary banquet ticket, or you can get a banquet ticket only for $40. Hotel accommodations, reserve early, spaces limited. Overnight accommodations are $109 per night, which includes a hot breakfast buffet. You can make reservations at the hotel link, bookpasskey.com/go, or you can call the office at 773-779-2900. You can register one of two ways at Eventbrite, or you can use the registration form, and all of this information is included in the email that was sent out by Minister Sharita.
Thank you so much. That's our first official public sharing as a committee member, and we thank her for her absolutely her commitment and her surrendering to the process. So we will just review some of the questions that have come in during the week that we decided to answer online, because if one person has a question, chances are you all have someone else ask a question as well. So one of the issues that was brought forth was understanding questions that are included in your phase two. And those questions were, what ministry has God called you to? Defining the calling based on scripture, and identifying and reviewing all the scripture and supporting resources that define your role in the office of your calling and qualification, and what will your ministry look like. So we want to look at those things. We ask that always that you bring your assessment, gift assessment, your personality assessment with you so you can look at them as we share in these weeks of training and explanation. And when we say what will your ministry look like, you may be called to be a pastor, but there are many different phases and specialties of pastors. In this organization, there is the pastor that is emerging. It is a pastor that is outreach. There are apostolic pastors. These are some of the terms that you'll become familiar with. Some of them will identify you and the calling on your life and what the apostolic network is going to convey upon you at your ordination. And so there are different types of pastors. So you may be a pastor of a church, itself with four walls, building, congregation, and pews. If that's your calling, then that's what your ministry will look like. Your office is the office of a pastor. That is defined through scripture. The scripture tells you what a pastor is supposed to possess, what he is built up to do for the kingdom of God. And so as a pastor, you may be an outreach pastor. That means you don't have four walls, but you may have individuals that are in the workplace, in the community, that on a regular basis you provide for them guidance, spiritual teaching, biblical teaching, spiritual assessment of the events in their lives. You provide for them direction, correction spiritually, and you take that role on individuals as an outreach pastor. And then emerging pastors maybe in the congregation of a other pastor, a pastor. They may be a part of a ministry, someone that starts a ministry, and they are working in that ministry with their gifts. And as they're emerging, they are maturing. They are getting the skills and the experience and the insight in becoming a pastor that's out able to stand apart from another supervision. And so when we ask you what is your ministry, then we're speaking not of the office that you're going to be ordained as, but what is the work that office is going to perform for the kingdom? Are you going to be in a local congregation? Are you going to be kingdom-driven? You know, there are apostolic pastors, those that's a part of the kingdom, and often they are the pastors of ministries that may include individuals from many different churches, and they come in that ministry together to perform or to complete the mission for a particular vision. So in other words, you may be in a church and you are going starting a ministry outside your church, apart from your church, for battered women. And as pastoring those individuals and being a part of that ministry, you then would need the individuals around you working that in that ministry that may need to be a pastor. You may need someone in that ministry that has the gifting of an evangelist and the different offices, and you're all functioning together in that ministry, but you have your own particular home local assembly that you're also a part of. And so that's what we're trying to get you to, as Bishop shared last week, identify the investment that's in you, that's been there, and you can, it becomes apparent as we go through the paperwork, as we lend ourselves to answering the question, what will your ministry look like? Will it be all women, all men? Will it be children? You know, so just making very clear picture of your vision and your ministry, because that's what helps you stay on target. That's part of the greatest part of your accountability, is being accountable to the vision that God has given you. And as a result, that resulting mission, how will you fulfill that vision, will keep you on track and keep you from diverting and losing even your zeal and the gust that comes in us when and the passion that is in us as we first start out in ministry. And so those were some of the questions that seemed to come up. I'm not sure. And then maybe you're not sure. But then when you look at your personality assessment, when you look at your gift assessment, you can see it leaning towards certain areas. And then when you search the scripture to scripturally identify that office that you're going into, then you will find further insight. And as these things are brought to you, they should stir in you exactly what it is and where it is God is leading you to. And how will your ministry look? Will it be under a pastor, or your deacon in a church? And that's where you go, that you don't really go outside the confines, basically, of your church. That's where you serve. And so it's good to identify and know these things, as I say, because it helps you with accountability. It helps you focus on your vision and your mission. And if you say, well, I don't think I have one, I don't know, these are areas that as you get to this point, where you're asked to identify or to present something that you have to go before the Lord because there is a leader that saw something in you, and they have brought you into this process to help draw you towards your destiny. And so I prayerfully hope that that will help give you better direction and insight as to how these some of these questions should be answered and to why. As Bishop shared with you last week, when you come up with the answer, make it a part of your portfolio. Write it down for yourself. Write it down so that you are preparing and collecting a body of work that speaks to who you are and to where ministry has taken you, where you have been, and then where it seems to be leading you. Another question we have was about your witnesses. Are there any questions as it relates to that, as it relates to some of the questions that you've been asked to answer that maybe you weren't comfortable with, you didn't understand them? Any questions or comments? Because sometimes it helps when you share with others your experience and that this process has had on you, then they can get an insight as to the things that they should be mindful of. Okay? Okay. So we had shared last week that someone was going to be called upon to share. Okay, we got some coming here. So we have, and I said I was going to just call on people. This also is a part of your assessment. I'm sorry. Remember, if you are not in a place to dialogue, keep your phones on mute because we do hear all of the background information. All right. So, looking at our going down. Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Overseer, hi. I wanted to ask a question. Oh, okay. This passed forward. Like under pastor, you say emerging outreach apostolic four wall church. Is it possible that you could be more than one of those?
Oh, absolutely. Remember in your excellent question, one of the things in the summary that you did, it lists your dominant anointing, and it lists those that were supporting. And those supporting ones are often the ones we find ourselves in most of the time as it supports the dominant one. And so absolutely, it can be that it is so specific that it's only one thing. I think none of us where it's only one thing. It's always at some point a combination of things. And a combination of things that relates to the season you're in as well as the place that you're serving. So you may serve in one area, say, for instance, in your own church, you may serve, you know, as one of the elders. But in your outside ministry, you may be the pastor. You're the one that everyone is looking to bring about everything that needs to happen, okay? But yet those are two different offices that you're actually functioning in. So absolutely wonderful question, yes. Any more questions?
Overseer, yes, okay. This is Elder Brittany. The question that I had was pertaining to the portfolio just because I'm weird. Is there a specific format that it has to be in?
Okay. There are many different formats. We have some that as you go in ministry that you are required to do. But the format
generally need to, Bishop shared it last week, what you want it to include. And that is basically, if you look at what we've asked you to do in that list of the things that are required, that is really the format. Okay, the application, which is indicating, you know, some of your bio information that comes first. After that, if you look at, we're looking at the schedule of, schedule of your due dates. So when you look at the information, then you see the personality and the gift assessment. That should be in there. So the first thing to identify who you are. And then your statement of, go down that list and you list the things in this order in your portfolio, you will have a very, very well-structured portfolio. This is some of the things that the apostle has taken in consideration. And though we're at this point in baby steps, if you will, it is also the framework for the apostles, quite frankly. What they put in there may look a little bit different, such as your picture. It should be a part of it because oftentimes when you're doing conferences, asked to speak on flyers, you know, so you always want to have a ministry picture that you can provide that speaks to you. They see that and go, oh, yeah, that's Elder Buck, and they know that. It may be your symbol of the thing that you get to identify your ministry, like your crest, that sort of thing. You want that in there. You want to always give the details of how, whatever you're presenting, how you got to that point. So say, for instance, if it's, I'll say Pastor Marlette. She's a musical person. So her crest, you know, may be a praise banner and a musical note, the S side. And then she would describe and explain why it's that and how that's in Scripture. All of that would become a part of your portfolio. As Bishop said last week, any certificates, any trainings that you've gone through, anything, you should make sure it's in there, because you shouldn't, as he said, you know, downplay or low-key the things that you've done, any classes that you finished. So all of those things should be a part of your portfolio. And as he said, put it in a binder, put it in a fancy binder. I love he said, put it in your bookcase, because it's your epistle, it's your book read by men. And when people look at the other books in your library collection, they will see the book of you. Do the book of you. Look any way you want it. Have some of your writings or some of your spoken words, those things in there. All of that would be a wonderful addition to your portfolio. Good questions. One else? Okay. I know we had mentioned some of the offices and the different variety of them. I had left off a pastor, not just emerging and outreach, but there are some pastors that are counseling pastors, and that's what your certificates would be about. Elders, there's ministers that are Stephen ministers. And so there's different types of anointing in the different offices that just sometimes bring clarity to who you are and what you are ordained in the area of a specialty. It's like but there may be many doctors, okay, but then if you're an orthopedic doctor or dentist or, you know, but you're still a doctor. And so look at it as that sort of delineation. Okay. Any more questions? This is your time, and you're free to ask questions. Okay. Is Elder Deborah on the line yet? Okay. One of the questions, we will talk about that next week, and that is accountability partner and what it should look like. Okay. And so we have a question. When you miss a conference call, what should you do? Anybody on the line can answer that. Is there anybody on the line that can answer? If you miss a conference call, what should you do? Pastor Patel.
Okay, sorry.
You can listen to the blog talk.
Uh-huh.
There we go.
Okay. What did you say? What's the
to listen to the blog talk, make sure that you notify Overseer Paulette that you will not be on the line, and then make sure you do listen to the blog talk. If you have an issue with listening to it or pulling it up, do make sure that you notify her of that as well, because she may not be aware that there's an issue with that also.
Wonderful answer. Thank you so much, Pastor. And so that's what you do. Now, the information for logging on to Blog Talk is a part of the emails. Your emails are of paramount importance. And so if you have trouble with emails or anything like that, you really need to let us know so that this information can get to you and you're not just out of the loop because you couldn't pull it up or, you know, something happens with our computers, which are all the time. But it is a Blog Talk, blogtalkradio.com/LFC-Word Life Center. Okay. All right. These questions are wonderful. There was another question this week, and we have another one from today as it relates to your witness. So let's talk about the witnesses, all right? First of all, it is our desire for the world to know who you are. When you come to the conference and at the ordination, you know, there's never less than 100, maybe 200 people. Who are you? And they may not know who you are, but you come with a witness. Some people come from out of town. Some people we only would know because a witness stood and shared with us who they were, you know, in their home environment. And so this has been established. It's very important in the heart of the apostle that everyone that comes has their witness. And also this is a part of accountability. You do exist and you do have a ministry and there is someone who, you know, you are impacting with your life and they are able to stand and witness for this. The witness are allowed, they're only allowed one, and you may have, you know, times that we would love to come. We do have to make sure you make the decision for the one you want and you prepare them, okay? Because what will happen, they will get approximately 1 to 2 minutes. So that's not a long time. So it may not be the kind of time that they may want to share anecdotes or, you know, what their relationship to you is. Just be the witness. I've seen this in the life of that person, and I can witness to the fact that they are truly called and anointed to be and whatever it is you're being ordained as. That's what they're witnessing to. I have seen the pastor anointing on her life. I have seen the elder anointing on her life, or the evangelistic, whatever it is, they have seen it, they've been witness to it, and they're witnessing before heaven on your behalf. And so that individual, like I say, only obviously we'd be there all day if everything came. So what it's limited to that one person for that about minute and a half to 2 minutes, and it's going to be done as you are being vested. So it won't be apart from, but as a part of, all right, your ceremony. And there are times that you may have maybe a pastor, and that pastor, he or she has brought a referred you to this process and they want to be a part of it, we welcome that. They can be a part of your investing. In other words, they can be a part of the laying on of hands and the vesting as your garments are placed upon you. And if that is the position that you want someone to have, then that information needs to be text or emailed to the ministry. And I believe I said this before, and I want to say before June 30th, because there will be some information that needs to go out to them as it relates to what that procedure is going to entail. So we need to know who they are, and we need to contact them. They have to be a clergy, an ordained person, unless
what?
They are your spouse. And spouses will be a part of their spouse's vesting. And they must be in clergy, whether it they will procession in with the procession. There is a section for visiting clergy that they will be invited to sit in. And when it is time, and they will have these instructions early on, which is why we need their names and their titles by June 30th, so that they will be properly informed of what the procedure is going to look like. Okay, good question. Anybody else? Any more questions? Okay. All right. Any committee members on the line? Am I leaving out anything as it relates to the apostles on the line? We had talked about garments at one point. Yes, to have the leaders. When you turn in their name, we definitely need a contact, a method of contact, whether it's email, phone, whatever their preference is. Make sure you make that a part of your email. Absolutely. Thank you so much. We had talked about the garments and the fact that when you come down, you'll be in civic attire. You will have everybody will have on only a clergy shirt, a black clergy shirt, and a black skirt or pants. Unless you've chosen to, you have to have on a clergy shirt in order for your collar to be vested upon you. Black or neutral stockings for women, black socks for men, black shoes with no embellishments. For men nor women, stockings should be plain without decoration or embellishment. We don't care how high the heel is, as long as you can stand in it for an extended period of time, you're free to wear them as high as they go, and you can go in them. It's not a problem. We do ask women that your hair not be purple or some unnatural color, green or not fuchsia, so some more traditional color. Your hair and your nails, ladies, your nails should be very conservative. No matter how long they are, but they shouldn't be sparkly with diamonds and glitter and three colors and that sort of thing. But as close to natural and conservatively as possible. I'm not going to say they shouldn't be red, if that's your color and that works with you. But just make sure that it is conservative, and remember, the goal is really not to stand out, but to stand as one. And so if there's something about our vesting, our vestment, that make us stand out, then we're not a part of the body. And that's the concept. It's not that you're not, but that's the kind. That's what we all have on the same color, the same thing, as we are in the offices, as we're being ordained into the various offices. The hair color and style, it doesn't matter. But no embellishment in your hair. And same for makeup. You can wear makeup. Again, it needs to be conservative. Yes, you can wear lipstick. That's fine. It just needs to be on the conservative side. As it relates to jewelry for women, the earrings must lay on the lobe of your ear. It should not hang below. It should be neutral or in, you know, the metal or metal, you know, gold or silver. And also, there is no other jewelry other than your wedding ring, covenant ring, no watches. No watches. Gentlemen are not allowed to wear earrings of any form in any place. That's pretty much the dress code for that day. And if I've left anything out, I do expect the committee members to let me know. Apostle, you can jump right in if you have anything. Okay. Stud earrings, yes. They can be studded. As long as it lays on your earlobe, then it's fine. It should not dangle below the ear. Anybody else? Good question.
I have a question.
Yes. Small will be fine.
I'm still not understanding about the dress code. As far as the cassock, we are not wearing that.
No.
That's going to
turn it in. When you come, you're going to turn in your cat. You're turning in all of your garments. Whether you've been ordained before or not, it doesn't matter. If you are a candidate, not accountability partners. Accountability partners will be in full choral attire. Yeah. You'll come down in full choral attire. For the candidates only, you will only come down in your clergy shirt. Your cassock, your cincture, your tippet, your surplus if you're getting it, your cross, your prayer shawl, your collar jewelry will all be turned in. When you get there, you will sign it in at the sign, at the registration with Elder Sharita. It's going to be placed in a room where it will be consecrated and anointed, brought into the service. And it is there that it will be placed upon you. There is going to be a list of all of the items, and you will check off each item that you turn in, and you will initial the fact that that's what you turned in. She will initial the fact that that's what she has received, and it will be brought to the sanctuary. This is also true for your Bible. It will be turned in. When you march in, there will be nothing in your hands. Okay?
So all right, thanks.
You sure? And whatever you wear down, you know, and I know you say, you mean you're going to put the cassock on top of all of that? That's the way they dress us. That's the vestment. And that's why we went through the concept and the history of it, so that we can come to an understanding of why these are the garments. It's one of the, I hope I can say it really briefly too, but one of the things that when you look in Old Testament, and remember they were Old Testament, they were in Israel, and those of you who have been there, you know it's hot. You know the kind of weather that is there. And the things that they had on would absolutely blow our minds. We just would be like, what? They had all of that on? And they had it on in a tent because remember, they went into the Holy of Holies. And this is a tent. This is a tent out in the desert, on the wilderness, on the way. And it was very specific. Every layer, it was heavy, laden down with jewels. It was partly metal. It was meticulous material, fabric material. They didn't have, you know, what we can have polyester. This was some real material that weighted them down. And they had to keep this on in this tent with the fire burning. Okay. And it was a joy for them. It was a joy for them. And so we have so gotten away from a lot of things because of convenience that we don't want to make. That helped them, the weight of the garment itself helped bring them to levels of humility. And it kept them, not, and that wasn't that was all that kept them, but it was part of what represented how bowed down we should be in the presence and in the service of God, weighted down with the things that he has said should be upon us. And all of these garments and these things and these items are the things that the Lord requires us to have in service, in celebrated service of him. And so there was always one type of garment that the priests wore when they were just working outside in the tabernacle courtyard. And then there was another garment they had when they actually went into the Holy and the Holy of Holies. And so that's what we kind of view your civic attire is what you wear on the outside and your full on when you go into the Holy of Holies or into the service that has been consecrated up to, unto the Lord. So we, the Bible that, yes.
Oh, yes. I want to ask a question, Mrs. Eldivet.
Sure.
Could you kind of give just like an overview of the ordination, the consecration, and elevation? Because in some cases, some people are being in more than one of those categories, correct? So they could be, we're all being consecrated, I would think. And possibly then there's some that are being consecrated and elevated. And then some are being ordained. So could you just kind of give an overview of that and the kind of the differences there?
I sure will. I know we had another question. Hold on. That last question. Oh, the type of Bible. Any version that you want is fine. It should be the whole Bible, old and new, not just old or new, but old and new, a full Bible, and any legitimate version is fine, and they have so many out there, will be fine. And like I say, as you turn it in, it will be given to you as a part of your. I see where we have one question about small loop earrings. As long as the loop is on the lobe, you're good. So if it touches the lobe in the front, touches it going to the back, then it's on the lobe and it's a good thing. If there's any space between the lobe and the lobe and the loop, then no. Okay. Yeah, any space between the lobe and the lobe, then the answer is no. Okay. So now the question on the table now is to share with you the different types of elevations. So it will can be brief, but it will take at least 3 minutes. So I know we'll be a little bit over. Those that are being consecrated, maybe I should start from the other end. I'll start. Okay. Ministers. Ministers are being called out from the pew. They have not made a commitment to anything. They may have been doing some things, but they have not acknowledged particular calling on their life. So these ministers
this group of individuals will be licensed. Licensed ministers means you can perform communion and baptism only in your local assembly with an ordained office present. And you can obtain ordination after you successfully complete the credentialing process. So you're in the first step of the process. Very first step, your sister, Hardy, hallelujah, and gifts have been identified in your life, and your leader wants to bring you out from the pew and put you in charge in an area of your gifting. So she has recommended you for ministry. You are what we're calling, what we do is licensed. You are being licensed and licensed only. Then there are those that are being ordained. Now, this may be a minister who's worked in that field, Minister Harris, and a liturgical minister worked in that field as a licensed, minister. But now, after maturing and after service and after growing in your ministry, you're now going to be ordained. Your leader has decided that at this point, you now can work as a minister in the church, doing baptism, marriages, funerals, as an ordained officer. You can perform these church rites and these sacraments on your own under, obviously, the pastor, but you can go out outside of the pastor, or and he can send you outside to do them. Or if you're ordained, a person may ask you, Minister Harris, can you marry me? You know, marry us.
Yep.
And as a ordained licensed minister, yes, you can. As a licensed minister, no, you cannot. And then elevation. That is, you're being promoted from one office to another. So now you are a minister, you're licensed, and you're ordained, and your leader sees in you your licensed and ordained evangelist. You've been working in that field, and you come to a place of eldership. So now you're being elevated from a licensed and ordained evangelist to a elder. You're promoted from one office to another. You can be a elder, you can be a minister, and you can be then elevated to the office of the, I'm trying to see where it is, or appointed, not elevated. You can be appointed. That was the one that fits after licensed and ordained, because anybody that's appointed as an adjective has to already have an ordained title. So as an ordained, elder, you can be elevated, you can be appointed as an adjective. So you can be a minister, a Stephen minister, and then be appointed as an adjutant. All right? And then elevated comes into that office. Now, consecrated. Those that are being consecrated are being called out of the whole, school of ordained, licensed leaders for very specific assignments. In the Bible, Holy Spirit told the Church of Apostles, the School of Apostles, separate to me, separate and consecrate unto me, Paul, because he had an assignment that Paul as an apostle was going to have to undertake, and he had to be separated and consecrated for that assignment. And that's what those that are being consecrated are being called out from a group of licensed ordained leaders into positions of either prophet, apostle, prophet, bishop, or overseer. And then they are consecrated to unto the Holy Spirit to perform a specific assignment on their life, on their destiny. For instance, apostle Shanette was called out and consecrated from being a pastor to being an apostle because the destiny on her life was to do the AEN, Labors for Christ Ministry, CCTI script. These were tasks that she had to be consecrated as an apostle with the authority to establish in the earth realm these entities for the kingdom of God. And so that's what the consecrated ones. When we say consecrated under a normal circumstances, we're saying we've been separated unto God, absolutely, to perform something specific. But just like in the army, there are a lot of soldiers, but there are also soldiers and there's officers of generals and lieutenants and sergeants, and there are quite a few different levels and positions of activity that have to be under the authority of someone that has been prepared to do that work. And so that is what the definition and the terms, the definition of the terms that we use under the AEN for the consecration, elevation, ordination, licensing process, which is why, you know, sometimes we just say the ordination, ordaining, but it really is different areas, different levels, for different reasons, for different offices, for different purposes, and for different destinies. I pray that that was a brief and yet solid. Any questions? There's no questions. I know we're 8 minutes over. I understand. I just want to read to you. Next week you'll be given your assignments for accountability partner scriptural element presentation. What is that? Well, next week we'll present to you the heart and the purpose and the mission of accountability partners on both sides, accountability partners as well as the candidates and each one's responsibilities and roles. And along with that comes scriptural direction that we are to take and to undertake. And each one of a team of people have been assigned to bring a presentation on that in that level and at that particular element. And we will share those elements with you. Look for them in the email so you can go over them before class and you will be semi-familiar with them when we start talking. You'll kind of know what we're talking about. So what was I going to look at something? Oh, I was going to read to you what you are being, where you are in this process. And under those terms and under those categories, you know, you may say, well, where am I? What is what I'm doing? So I'm going to share that with you carefully, quickly. Okay, so we start with Sister Dana Hamilton is being licensed as an evangelist. Sister Dana Hamilton. Now, Sister Brenda Winslow being licensed as a minister of administration. Sister Symphony Brenham being licensed as an outreach minister. To Tamika Hardy being licensed as a minister of community education. Brother and sister Miles being ordained and licensed as pastors. Minister LaJean Burton is being ordained as an evangelist. Sister Davinia Anderson being licensed and ordained as an evangelistic counselor. Sister Jewel Cooper being licensed and ordained as an apostolic evangelist. Sister Sharon Jones being licensed and ordained as an elder teacher. Evangelist Rosemary Isaac being elevated as an elder. Pastor D'Altro Ford being elevated as an apostolic pastor. Emerging Pastor Johnny Bond being elevated as a pastor. Elder Sarah McFadden being elevated as a pastor. Emerging Elder Brittany Buck being elevated as an elder. Emerging Elder Kamisha Barrett being elevated to eldership. Emerging Pastor Joseph Bivens being elevated to pastor. Emerging Pastor Melvin Vivante being elevated to pastor. Elder Yvette Trim Jackson being elevated to pastor. And Emerging Pastor Sonia Norwood being elevated to marketplace pastor. So those are your initial class of 2018. The ones that are being consecrated is Pastor Joffrey Hooks as an apostolic prophetic teacher, Pastor Katie Pierce as an apostle, Pastor Antoine Harrington consecrated as a chief adjutant, Pastor James Smith being charged this year for the office of bishop. And that is an emerging type of a position. It is informing the world that this point forward, he is being groomed as a bishop. Overseer Angela Walker as an apostle. Bishop Nathaniel Isaac as an archbishop, and Prophet Michael Henderson going up there as a chief apostolic, and in a place that it is new for us, and yet definitely what God has called him to be. So that is your class. That is those that will have labored among you and will continue to labor among you, according to the work of Holy Spirit has for them. So we definitely at the close of Apostle. I was asking for Apostle. I had it
Overseer?
On mute. Yes, ma'am.
Overseer? Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Sharon Jones?
Yes.
Daryl Jones?
Oh, I said she was... I'm sorry?
Sharon Jones, Pastor Daryl Jones.
I said Sharon Jones as a elder teacher. Yes.
Okay. Pastor Daryl Jones and Elder Kaitha and one other person. And Pastor Harrington is being consecrated as a bishop who will serve in the office of Jesus Baptist.
Okay, well, I'm making that adjustment. And Pastor Daryl Jones as
a bishop.
And okay, Pastor Daryl Jones as a bishop. And emerging minister, emerging elder, Kaisa Winthrop Johnson as an elder, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
No. Okay. All right. The record has been corrected. And with apostles, okay, it will stand. And actually, as we go through this process, and if there's things that Holy Spirit brings and changes, look the way He will want it to look. So at that, we will ask for one of our male leaders to close us out in prayer. Bishop?
Yes, ma'am, I'm ready. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I was trying to give some other brethren a chance. I see you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for every candidate, oh God, that's on this line as they're going through their preparation process. Holy Spirit, we thank you again for coaching them and leading them and guiding them into the truth of what you have called them, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, that you are even revealing yourself through the paperwork, oh God, that they are laboring through, Heavenly Father, through each section and portion, even the questions that they are answering biblically, Heavenly Father. Thank you that the eyes of the understanding are being opened, they're being enlightened, oh God, so that they can see themselves in your plan and what you have called them. God, thank you for the vision over the visionary over the AEN, oh God. Thank you for the growth and the continued development of this organization, God, as we are moving forward. God, we love you. Those who are traveling, God, give them traveling graces, oh God, in their respective areas, the Heavenly Father, and those, oh God, who need rest, we thank you that, and we can speak to their body for rest right now in the name of Jesus. Those who are sick, oh Heavenly Father, thank you that we can call forth healing even at this time and wholeness, oh God. Thank you, oh God, that because we are washed in the blood, oh God, there is no weapon formed against us that can prosper. We love you, God, until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen.